What's going on, family? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, also known as Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some real good game, but what we're going to do is take a real quick commercial break, and we will be right back after these commercial break messages. So don't you move a muscle, family. Don't you go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to undeniablegame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy to follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at undeniablegame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Are you an aspiring entrepreneur, but you have difficulties coming up with good ideas? Then check out this amazing new ebook called 50 Business Ideas for Young Black Entrepreneurs. In this guide, you'll learn how to build and promote your own mobile app business. You'll learn how to use social media to promote your business, and you will learn how to write detailed business plans to ensure success. Go to lowcostblackbusiness.com to get started. That's lowcostblackbusiness.com.
VictoryUnlimitedShow.com.
On today's mission, we're going to talk about sex as a weapon. The top 12 reasons why so many good men are still single. 7 characteristics of a good woman. How being friends with benefits can backfire on you. Dumb dating moves you make with smartphones. Dating, relationships, and life is war. Fight to win.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find it, maybe you can hear the Victory Unlimited Show.
Look, everybody, stop what you're doing right now and go to LegendaryMix.com. If you are a recording artist, if you're a producer, if you simply have a friend that needs help with their music, then this message is for you. Legendary Mix is the number one online mixing and music mastering service on the net. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering while prices are still low. Clients rate them as number one as the online music service. With over 13 years of production experience, they will deliver top-quality results with great turnaround times. Contact LegendaryMix.com today. Mention Tariq Radio and save 10% off on your first order. Call or text 347-565-5892 or email legendarymix1@gmail.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Sandra. Because you're a hoe.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am Tariq Nasheed, as you know, and we're going to chop it up like that. Chop it up like that. Spit like that. Chopping up that hot fire like that. All right, man, I hope y'all got Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, by the way, at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. We got that bundle pack available. So check that out when you get a moment and get those Hidden Colors 4 t-shirts at TariqElite.com. So we just want to see what's going on. A lot of stuff we got to talk about today. One thing we got to talk about, today's topic is really about censorship. We're talking about the First Amendment as it pertains to black people. Do black people have First Amendment rights? Does the First Amendment in the Constitution apply to black people? That's something that we have to discuss on today's show, because we see so many times where the First Amendment doesn't seem like it applies to us. you know, and we see this magnified with the whole Kaepernick situation. Shout out to the homie Colin Kaepernick. With Kaepernick, you have a lot of people shutting, or I won't say shutting down, they're trying to shut down Kaepernick for him just utilizing his First Amendment rights. He wants to speak out against something, and he doesn't want to bow down to a flag. And we've talked about this on a few shows before, but just the backlash, this whole thing where people want to punish Kaepernick and other ball players for exercising their First Amendment right, their freedom of speech, them wanting to speak up against certain issues and not salute the flag, which doesn't honor the Constitution. That's what this is really about. And let me say this to black people. Black people, when you see all of these suspected white supremacists getting all up in arms about Kaepernick and the flag and how it's a disgrace to veterans, let me tell y'all something. That's a bunch of game. The white supremacists and the suspected white supremacists, they're very good at playing dumb and changing the narrative and having fake outrage about a narrative that they've created. Now, they know that this whole thing is not about no damn veterans. They've flipped the narrative to make it seem like this is about veterans. And they've always done that. When it comes time to put white supremacy on the burner, they will shift the narrative to something else and get outraged about that. That's that whole what about black on black crime shit. When you start talking about white supremacy, well, what about black on black crime? They get their coons to say that. So now when you talk about the ills of white supremacy, well, what about the veterans? You got to stand up to the flag for the veterans. That's just another smokescreen. They ain't slick. Don't let them run that game. The white supremacists, they're very slick. That whole thing has zero to do with the veterans. But that's just that old smokescreen that the white supremacists like throwing up so they don't have to deal with white supremacy. And I want you guys to notice something with the whole Kaepernick thing. You notice all of these white people who a lot of black people thought were down. A lot of these white people who almost act like wiggers, as they say. Many of them are coming out against Kaepernick. All of these white dudes who black people deemed as honorary black folks, a lot of them are talking slick, like Kid Rock, for example. Kid Rock, and I posted a clip on my Twitter of Kid Rock. He's in concert in Boston. And y'all know Kid Rock. I've been feeling a certain way about Kid Rock for a minute. I don't care about him having black ex-girlfriends and him having a mixed child. His child is half black. That don't mean anything. Black people get fooled by that. Just because somebody is having a sexual relation with another black person, or even if they have a child by another black person, that doesn't mean that they're not a white supremacist, or at least a white supremacist suspect. We gotta watch that. So Kid Rock, you know, he started off in the rap game. You know, he used to wear his hair on a damn flat top. He was appropriating black culture, and black people embraced him. He was from Detroit. And he started off in the hip-hop game. The hip-hop community gave him a pass. But later on in his career, when he started to do this basic country and western style music, he started kicking it with open white supremacists like Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent is like his little cut buddy. So I knew something was up right there when I saw him rocking with open white supremacist Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent has said some vile shit about black people. And this is Kid Rock's dude. So now Kid Rock does this concert in Boston, and you know how the racism in Boston is on fleek. So Kid Rock has the big flag and he's singing about freedom and all this, and then he just goes out and says, yeah, fuck Kaepernick. And the audience is like, yay. I'm like, okay. So fuck Kaepernick for wanting to speak up for the disenfranchisement and the mistreatment of black people. Because anytime you see some suspected white supremacist talking about fuck Kaepernick, it's all about the veterans. Veteran is a code word for fuck black problems. It ain't about no veterans. They're saying, I agree with black mistreatment. Somebody in the chat room said, isn't Kid Rock a Donald Trump supporter? I would not be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. But also, watch these old supposed to be down white boys with the yo, 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 bro. I'm from the streets, yo, yo, word to your mother. That bullshit, I told you for years, I'm never impressed by that. When the white boys come around me with the yo, 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 I go on alert. I don't look at them as being down. I go on alert. That's some bullshit when I hear all that. It's nothing but game. Because all the yo, yo, yo white dudes, you peel them layers back, you see they have the same white supremacist views as every other white supremacist. Just like Marky Mark. I remember Marky Mark, or Mark Wahlberg as he's now known, but he started off as Marky Mark with the Funky Bunch, the world's corniest name, but Marky Mark was on that yo, 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 feel the vibrations. Yo, he would do interviews talking that yo, yo, yo bullshit. And come to find out, you know, Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, was terrorizing black folks out there in Boston. He was on that racist shit out there in Boston. Not impressed. Now, Vanilla Ice was on that yo, yo, yo shit till Suge Knight hemmed his ass up. He stopped that yo, yo shit right away. When Suge and them guys got in his ass, that yo, yo, yo shit went right out the window. See, the thing is, when they run up on some real G's, the yo, yo, yo shit goes out the window. MC Search, too, and I like Search. I like Search, but the yo, yo, yo shit went out the window when Search got caught up in some shit out here in L.A. with the Crips. A lot of folks don't know about that. The Crips had a hit out on MC Search because MC Search, back in the day, and you go listen to old interviews of MC Search. He was on that yo, yo, yo. He had a flat top. MC Search had a flat top. But Search, you know, in the group Third Base, for my hip hop heads, Search, you know, he had that honorary black pass, so he thought he could diss other black folks. So they, Search and those guys, Third Base, dissed MC Hammer. And the thing is, a lot of black folks at the time when Hammer was real, 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 real hot, a lot of black folks were like low-key clowning Hammer because of the Hammer pants and all that. So Search thought, okay, since black folks are doing it, I'm an honorary black person, I can clown Hammer too. But what y'all don't know, Hammer and his folks are about that motherfucking life. That's one thing folks don't know about Hammer. Hammer and his brother Lewis, them niggas are about that life for real. I remember going to Oakland for the first time. I went to Oakland, and I was in this grimy-ass club. It was like thug-ass niggas in this club. They start putting on Hammer songs, and these thug-ass niggas was doing the Running Man all night to MC Hammer. They loved Hammer up in the Bay. I'm talking about grimy thug street niggas was riding for Hammer. The Bay loved that nigga back in the day, and in L.A. too. So MC Search said some real greasy stuff in one of those songs about Hammer, and they had a hit out on Search, the Crips, because Hammer's brother was connected with the 60s, I think. And this is some old street shit. Statutes of limitations are way gone, so I can talk about it. But Hammer, them they were about that life. It was a whole bunch of shit mixed up with that. And Search came out to L.A., and they hemmed his ass up at the Beverly Center. And that's another thing. A lot of folks think they come out to L.A., they think if they go to the Beverly Center and hang out in Beverly Hills, shit is safe. No, it's not. There's a lot of folks who done got hemmed up at the Beverly Center, thinking that that's a little safe place to shop. Nigga, Crips know how to take La Cienega up to the fucking Beverly Center. A lot of dudes done got caught up at that damn Beverly Center. Somebody, I remember Jazzy Faye, I think he got robbed up there. They got him in broad daylight. There was another cat from Atlanta who got killed up there at the Beverly Center, right in front of the Grand Lux Cafe when they had it. The Grand Lux ain't there no more. But I'm just giving y'all just an idea how the game is out here. You can't diss certain people thinking that they're soft just because they're dancing or whatever. Hammer was about that life. And Hammer was hooked in with Mike Conception and all those dudes, and they had a straight-up hit on MC Search. So they ended up having to give, I think they gave Mike a record deal behind that. It's some old-school street shit. It's real heavy. It's real heavy. Real heavy shit. But the point is, Search stopped all that yo-yo-yo shit. The yo-yo-yo went right out the window. You dig? When you get around some real ass G's, the yo-yo-yo shit goes out the window. And these dudes, man, these white cats who are supposed to be honorary black folks, when it's time for us to be equal, and equal meaning black folks rise up, you'll notice they'll change their demeanor. Another cat who's supposed to be an honorary black person, Michael Rappaport, he was kind of saying some slick shit about Kaepernick. And Michael Rappaport, he did the Tribe Called Quest documentary. I mean, you know, he's done some cool things, but no, you're not going to pick and choose how you're going to ride, because we don't get to pick and choose. So he's one of those yo-yo-yo guys, but when it's time to talk about equal treatment, all of a sudden they want to talk slick. So I watch these dudes. Keep your eye on the yo-yo-yo white dudes. Even Rude Jude from Shade 45 radio show. And I met Rude on the Jenny Jones show, and Rude Jude is cool, but he's yo-yo-yo-yo-yo-yo-yo. But you listen to Jude talk about racial issues. Some of the shit he says sounds like some shit from Stormfront. On several occasions, I've heard some shit Jude talk about. It sound like some talking points directly from fucking Stormfront. So the thing is, don't think because you hear yo-yo-yo-yo-yo that this person is somehow down and they want to see you in an equal level. See, they want to see you equal as long as they choose to go slum. See, when black folks want to rise up, all the yo-yo-yo dudes, they'll stop all that yo-yo-yo. When we want to rise up to the level of people in the dominant society, oh, they go on alert. They don't want that. They want equality on their terms, and their terms meaning we're going to go down to the hood when we feel like it and then leave the hood when we are tired of it. That's equality. We're willing to slum and stump down to your level. We'll listen to the hip-hop. We'll listen to the Wu-Tang. We'll have sex with a few black women. So I'll be equal to you on that level as long as I'm willing to slum with you. And when I'm done, I'm going to go back up here to McPrivilege land. See, that's how they get down. So we got to understand, just because somebody is not coming at us 24 hours on the nigga, 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 go back to Africa tip, that doesn't mean that they're not a white supremacist. We got a lot of white supremacists out here who step to you with smiling faces. So that's the thing that black folks have to understand. Oh, somebody in the chat room said Gus Renegade had MC Search on his show. Gus suspected he was practicing racism and told him that. Man, I would love to hear that interview. Somebody please let me hear that interview. I need to get Gus on the show, by the way. I got to get my brother Gus on the show. But yo, somebody send me a link to that interview. Email that to me. I would love to hear that, because Gus be breaking motherfuckers down. Gus is the truth. A lot of people are asking me about Lil Wayne in the chat room. Lil Wayne did an interview on what network was that? Was that like some ESPN channel? Lil Wayne did an interview, and I like Lil Wayne. I got a lot of respect for Lil Wayne, but Lil Wayne looked like he was high out of his mind in this interview. And I'm like, why are they talking to Lil Wayne about racial issues? And that's the thing. The white supremacists are very slick. The white supremacists are very slick. They know how to get certain people who shouldn't really be talking in depth about racial issues, because they don't really know how to articulate it or go into the white supremacists in a thorough manner. So they deliberately either get a coon or get somebody who's not well-versed or articulate to discuss racial issues in depth. And they'll throw the camera in their faces and say, hey, what do you think about race, Young Thug? What do you think about race, Lil Wayne?
And Lil Wayne was like, well, you know, a lot of white folks go to my concert, so I took that as ain't no more racism. So, yeah, what else is Lil Wayne? I'm not mad. I won't say Wayne is cooning. He didn't do the... He's soft-shoeing a little bit. I say that. It was some soft-shoe shit. But Wayne looked like he was kind of high. And he's already going through some shit with Cash Money Records. So, I'm assuming he ain't trying to fuck his money up. They know that Lil Wayne is going through a little situation with Cash Money Records, and they'll do that. They'll dangle your paycheck. They'll dangle your money in front of you and say, hey, look at your money. Here's a contract that we're going to sign. But before we let you sign, what do you think about racism? You understand? Somebody in the chat. Okay, this is somebody. He's trolling. I'm not going to even acknowledge that. Okay. I saw the name and they were trolling. Okay. But I won't say that the man was cooning. I won't. I'm not going to put Wayne on the coon train. Not going to put him on the coon train. He was soft shoe, though. There was a soft tap. There was a soft tap there. I'll say that. There was a soft damn tap. And that's the problem. The tapping was very soft. But I like Lil Wayne. And Lil Wayne knows better. Excuse me. I mean, Lil Wayne, they put that man up in Rikers Island on that gun charge. They don't do that to a lot of white people who have guns, all right? So this man has definitely experienced racism, whether he wants to admit it or not. And just because you have a majority white audience, and that's another thing. Most people who buy rap and most people who go to rap concerts are white. White people are his bread and butter. And he's going through a financial situation, so of course he doesn't want to mess up his bread and butter game. His show money, his tour money, that's how he's sustaining himself. So he doesn't want to jeopardize that, and I get that. But just because people in the dominant society want to see you perform, that doesn't mean they think you're equal. Hell, black folks used to perform on plantations all day, and the white folks love to see their Negroes play the fiddle and the banjo. Like, oh, come on over here, Festus. Why don't you sing that little Negro spiritual that I like so much? That's a part of white supremacist culture. Minstrel shows, using black people for minstrels, and being entertained by minstrel shows. Black people jumping around and flopping around. That's always been entertainment to white people, especially the white supremacists. So don't be flattered by that. Get your money. I ain't mad at nobody for getting their money. I mean, we live in a prison system called white supremacy that's global. So definitely get your money. But don't think that you're doing something revolutionary like bringing the races together and all that. A lot of artists have that thing where they think, okay, if white and black people come to their concerts, that's helping race relations. That concert lasts for 2 or 3 hours. When that concert is over, black folks take their ass right back across the tracks. White people go to their suburbs and nothing changes. So let's stop going for the symbolic change bullshit. But the thing is, family, we got to look at how black people in the First Amendment, how it works for us, because it doesn't work for us. We're going to have to start looking into this Constitution thing, because family, so many black folks are getting banned on Facebook for saying the most minute thing. Anything a black person says on Facebook, they will ban you. They're actively censoring black people. They're not doing this to people in the dominant society. I rarely see white people get banned and blocked from Facebook. I rarely see it. You go on Facebook now, you can hear and see all types of vile shit about black people coming from the white supremacists. Not only that, you got these people on Facebook with guns and weapons. They don't get banned. These people make open threats against black people and don't get banned. But black people are getting banned left and right just for saying minor things. If you say the word white, that will get you banned. If you post a video of a white person getting into a fight with a black person and the black person's getting the best of the white person, they'll take your shit down. Now, they'll let a black person get their ass whooped and keep that online all day. Black folks fighting each other, they'll keep that on all day. They'll let that get 2-3 million hits. But I noticed if you post a video, which I posted a video of this white lady spitting on a sister on a bus and this sister slapped the fire out of her, they took that shit down and banned my page for a month. So, black folks, the censorship and the violations of the First Amendment is becoming more and more blatant. And I'm about to tell y'all how deep it's going. Let me get a couple of calls first. What's up? Who's calling? Hold on. Wait.
Hey, Tariq. This is Joe from Tennessee.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, fam?
No, I'm good. I noticed that the media is not talking about that Trump case that's coming up in October.
Yo, what's the deal on that?
I read into it. It's something about, like, he raped his, allegedly raped his ex-wife, and he used this aspiring model in 1994. She was 13, and the article says he would tie her up to the bed and use her as a sex slave.
God damn. Yeah, I kind of heard something like that, but I'm not too sure about it. But I did kind of hear something like that, so that's kind of heavy. So, but they pretty much buried that story, you know. They're not saying too much about it, so it is what it is. All right, but thanks for the call, fam. Let me see who else is on the phone. All right, a lot of folks are calling. What's up, who's calling?
What's up, this is Gumbo from Texas.
Hey, man, how you doing, fam?
I'm good. I just want to give you a shout-out. I don't know what the topic is today, but, hey, I just want to thank Patrice O'Neal, because for Patrice O'Neal, I would have never found T-Hulk, and if it weren't for T-Hulk, I would have never found Zoe Will, and if it weren't for Zoe Will, I would have never found you.
Yes, sir.
If I would have never found you, I would have never found Dr. Precious Kranz Wilson.
Yes, sir, man.
And that's all I want to say, man. Thank you.
Man, much respect to that, man. Thank you for the call,
all right,
brother. Yes, indeed. All right, let's get into some game. Let me talk about what I want to talk about, because I'm talking about censorship. And let me tell you how deep this thing is going. I had a visit at my home this Monday. And I posted this I talked about it on Instagram. I talked about it on Facebook. I talked about it on Twitter. But this past Monday, a day after my newborn son was born, and shout out my newborn son, he was born Sunday, September 11th. His name is Mateo Kress Nasheed. Beautiful baby boy. We brought him home yesterday. We finally brought him home yesterday. He's getting adjusted to the house. The other boys are getting adjusted to him. So my boy is good. Cute baby, real cute boy. So, just had my son Sunday. Now, you know, my mother's out here to help out with the children. She's, you know, I flew her out here for a few weeks. And Monday, you know, I'm going back and forth to the hospital, you know, checking on my wife and the baby. And, you know, I'm running around the house with the boys here. You know, we're just making sure everything is cool. A lot of stuff is happening. Newborn baby. And at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody's ringing my doorbell. And I'm like, who the hell is ringing my doorbell now? Because I get a lot of packages delivered by Amazon and FedEx, but usually they'll come in the morning or they'll come later on. So I'm like, who in the hell's ringing my damn doorbell? And they start ringing my doorbell right when I got all the way upstairs. Now, for those who have seen my Ustream show, y'all have seen my home. My house is 3 stories, so I'm all the way on the top floor about to get dressed to go back to the hospital. So I'm in my wife beater and my sweatpants and all that. And I hear the doorbell ring, and I don't feel like going all the way down the stairs. So I open up my top window. And I'm like, they're ringing the doorbell a couple of times, and I'm thinking that it is FedEx or somebody or Amazon delivering a package. Now, usually, if it's Amazon, it's somebody in plain clothes. They'll just ring the doorbell and leave the package. So I looked out the window. I looked out the window and I see there's a brother, there's a black dude in plain clothes. Oh, well, okay. I'm thinking at first, well, he's not FedEx because he doesn't have on a FedEx uniform. And I'm thinking, okay, is he Amazon? If he's Amazon, where's the damn package? I don't see no package. So I look over and I see one black guy. Then there's another black guy looking at the side of my house. He's like going, he didn't go around the house, but he just kind of went over to the side and kind of looked at the side. I'm like, what the fuck? Who the fuck are these dudes? Why is this dude looking in the side of my house like this? So I'm like thinking, oh, they're trying to sell something. They must be trying to, you know, I don't know if they're day labor. I don't know. I don't know. So I yell out the window. I said, excuse me, can I help you? And the guy said, the first guy, he was like, yeah, Mr. Nasheed, we're the FBI. We need to speak with you for a second. I'm like, okay. So I close my window and I'm like, well, I'm thinking the first thought, I'm like, well, I need to record this shit. But then I realized my mother's downstairs because she's down there with the boys. So I hear her walking down the last set of stairs to the door. I said, oh, shit, I don't want my mother to let these people in. So I left my phone upstairs and I'm kicking myself in the ass for not bringing my phone so I could record these dudes. But this, all this shit is fast, is happening at once. So I should have went and got my phone. There's a lot of shit I should have done in hindsight, because I really wanted to, I needed to document this shit. So I'm running downstairs to catch my mother, to tell her to not let him in. Don't open the door. I'll open the door. And I'm not going to even open the door. I'm just going to open it so I can go outside. So I reach her before she opens the door. And I tell her, go back upstairs with the boys. So I go outside. I didn't let him in. And I'm like, hey, can I help you? And they were like, yeah, we're from the FBI. And he showed me his badge. It was a legitimate FBI badge, a legitimate FBI ID. Now, one of the guys, he's kind of a tall brother, had on a blue shirt and some jeans. He had like a clipboard. He was about, I would say he was in his late 30s. The second guy was a little shorter than him, another black guy. He had on like a baseball cap and some dark sunglasses. And he was dressed real casual. Now, I can't remember what he had on. My mother said he had on like a wrinkled white shirt. And they were going out of their way to look extra casual. So I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on? They were like, well, Mrs. Nancy, you're not in trouble or anything like that. You know, we just wanted to come, you know, ask you some questions about your views. I'm thinking, what the fuck are they talking about? My views? My views on what? Like, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? They were like, you know, we just want to make sure that you're not with any subversive groups or anything like that. I'm like, no, of course I'm not with no subversive groups. No, I'm not. And they were like, yeah. And they were very nice. They were extremely polite. They were extra polite, extra nice. And they were very casual about it. They were making it seem like, we just got to double check. You know, the Bureau, you know how they are. They were trying to use that black camaraderie thing. That's why they sent two black agents to the house. They were trying to be on that brother camaraderie. Yeah, you know, we just doing our job type of thing. And they were like, well, we just wanted to also, let me ask you about a comment you made online. I said, what comment? They said it was a video you made, and they had a bunch of paperwork, a bunch of files of a bunch of shit on me. And I saw, and I wanted to see more of it. I only saw like one or two pages. One page was a printout of me on YouTube. So they had a whole thick stack of papers from me, but they only asked me about one thing. So they said, well, there's something that you mentioned when you talked about Micah Johnson. And I'm like, okay. Now, they didn't ask me anything about, did I know Micah Johnson or did I correspond with Michael Johnson? And for those who don't know, Micah Johnson, he was the black man who, down in Dallas, he went on that shooting spree and killed a number of police officers down in Dallas. That's Micah Johnson. And from what I understand, a couple of people have been visited because of, I think, him or this other guy. I think the feds went to Zoe Williams. I think with my man, Boyce Watkins, one of these guys was in his economic class or something like that, and there was a police car outside of my man, Boyce Watkins' home. And so they asked me about a comment I made about Micah Johnson, a comment I made about him. Now, remember, when they come to the door, first of all, let me back up a little bit. Now, when they first came to the door and I went downstairs, I was thinking, because I saw like a bunch of paper that said YouTube and other things on it, I'm thinking that they're about to warn me about some people who've been threatening me, because I've posted up threats to me for the longest. People have been making death threats on me. They make death threats on me all fucking day. So initially when I opened the door, I'm thinking, okay, they about to tell me some information or somebody about somebody who was threatening me. I'm thinking they about to say, hey, well, Mr. Nasheed, you know, we got some information on somebody who's made some threats and we wanted to give you, I'm thinking they about to tell me that. But they were like, no, we want to ask you about your views. I'm like, what the, okay. And I wasn't scared or nothing. I wasn't, you know, I know I didn't do shit. So anyway, the Micah Johnson thing. And this is heavy right here. This is heavy. This is the shit that flipped me out a little bit. Not really, but it did. They were like, so you made a comment about Micah Johnson. I said, yeah, what comment are you talking about? You said, Mr. Nasheed, that Micah Johnson engaged in maximum emergency compensatory action. What did you mean by that? I'm like, wow. I said, well, that's just something that I read in a book, and this book was written in the 70s and 80s. And it was just a descriptive term. So I was just describing what the definition of that term meant as it related to Micah Johnson. They were like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we just asking. And I'm thinking, the feds come to my house to ask me the definition of something? I'm tripping on this shit. I didn't make a threat. I didn't make a threat. I didn't target anybody. I didn't speak out against any group. They came to my house, man. The damn feds came to my house and asked me for the definition of something, of what I meant by something I said. This is the heavy. This shit is heavy, man. If I'm lying, I'm flying. If they, that's what the fuck they asked me. They asked me, what does maximum emergency compensation, what do you mean by that when you said that? That's beyond just a First Amendment violation. And remember, they were very casual about it. They were very casual about it. And I told them, I'm like, that's just a term that I read in a book a long time ago. It's an old book that had that term that kind of applied to the Micah Johnson situation. I said, I didn't co-sign it. I didn't say that he should have done that. I'm just giving a descriptive term. They're like, oh, yeah, we know, brother. We know, brother. You know, we just got to ask. You know how they are at the Bureau, man. You know, we just got to ask. I'm like, okay. And, you know, they were like, yeah, you know, again, man, we just want to make sure, you know, you ain't with no, you know, anti-government groups or subversive groups or nothing like that. I'm like, no. And I'm like, y'all probably been following me for the longest, man. Y'all know, you know, y'all been on me for a minute. And I said that to him. I said, brother, y'all been on me for a minute. Y'all know I'm not with no groups. Y'all know I'm not going to say nothing crazy. They're like, oh, no, brother, we haven't been tracking you, brother. No. I said, man, I said, look, as many times as I've been to the airport and Homeland Security, they pulled me off planes and sent me to different rooms and questioned me and all that. Brother, yeah, David, y'all been, you know, checking me out. Y'all know I'm not going to say nothing crazy. And they were like, well, no, brother. Hey, man, you know, we get profiled too sometimes, brother. They kept trying to play that, hey, we all in the same struggle card. I'm like, all right. They're like, all right, brother. So, man, thank you for your time, brother. You have a nice day. And that was it. I mean, it was a very quick conversation. They were there for like 5 minutes. It was real quick. It was a real quick thing, man. And the thing is, I'm looking back at it. I'm like, what the hell was that about? Why would they send federal agents to my house? And the timing of it was very interesting, too. They came a day after my newborn was here. So they knew that there would be a lot of shit going on. They knew that there would probably be family members over. So they wanted to see who's who. They probably assumed that there would be a lot of people at my house, friends and family. So they might have been outside my house getting license plates, finding out who's who, who I'm cool with. That's what it seemed like they were doing, because old dude was looking on the side of my house. They were out there probably looking at license plates, trying to see who was who came to visit, who I know, so they can track my friends or whatever, or my family. But it's very interesting they came like that. And I posted this on my, you know, the aftermath of it. I didn't get a chance. I wish I should have actually filmed them. Yeah, they did care. My guard was down, and they timed that. Because, you know, they knew we're going to be running all over the place with a new baby a day after a baby is born, so they know shit is going to be all up in the air. But that was really them sending a message. Well, number one, they came over, and they were extremely polite. They knew not to be hostile, because they knew they were engaging in a First Amendment violation. Do you know how much of a First Amendment violation that is? So they knew not to be hostile. And they knew to send black agents. That's the thing. They sent two black agents. Now, that's not a coincidence. They deliberately sent two black agents to the house, because they knew if it was two white agents, it would have been too funny style looking. I would have probably just waited till I got my lawyer. They knew if I would have saw two white dudes in suits in my, I would have just called my lawyer. And they know that. And they thought just sending the brothers over, who looks real, they look real casual, that, you know, that can soften it a little bit. So they were sending a message, because the thing is, they brought up Micah Johnson, but they did not ask me if I knew him, if I corresponded with, they didn't ask me anything like that. That's the interesting thing. They brought up Micah Johnson, but they did not ask anything about me knowing him, or has he ever reached out to me. They didn't ask nothing about that. They asked, what did you mean when you used this term? I'm like, these motherfuckers are asking me. They came to my house with federal fucking agents asking me the definition of a term. That's a clear violation of First Amendment, man. And the thing is, a lot of black folks on Twitter and Facebook, they were like, oh, man, you got to be careful. No, we got to be careful. This is what we don't understand. Black folks don't understand this. If they doing this shit to me, they can do this shit to any of us. You're a melanoid person. If they can do that to a melanoid person like me, they can do that to anybody. They can do it to anybody. Let me, we got some white supremacists in the chat room. James or Ramon, I made you a moderator. Let me make a couple of people moderators. So when this anonymous person comes in, just go ahead and ban them. Truth Reigns, I'm going to make you a moderator. I'm going to make a few people moderators. So Big Papa, I'm going to make you a moderator too. So anytime Anonymous pops in the room, just go ahead and ban him, please. Because we're trying to have some real talk here. He might be one of them agents, so. But what that was, man, that was a message. That was a message to all of us, really. Not only will we censor you online, but we will come to your house and censor you, because that was basically them coming to my house, letting me know we are officially watching you. That's their way. They were very polite. They were kind of downplaying it. Oh, you know, we just, you know, we got to follow up on stuff like this. Motherfucker, you don't work for the post office. I'm like, you work for the feds. So y'all know what it is. Y'all, if I was with a group or what, you would know. And plus, you wouldn't ask me. If I was a damn any type of criminal, you ain't gonna come to my house and say, hey man, are you a criminal? Really? So I'm just going along with it. I'm like, Yeah, you're gonna come to somebody's house and ask them if they're a criminal. Really? That was a message. They were sending a message. They were letting me know we are officially watching you. Because the thing is, when I tweet stuff or when I put stuff online, especially when I tweet stuff, a lot of times I tweet stuff and it gets retweeted hundreds of times. Also, a lot of stuff that I tweet, the mainstream media will pick up on it. So if you look at like the New York Post, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, a lot of the mainstream media outlets, they will take my quotes and put it in their news stories all the time. And this shit goes international. And they see that I don't really have an employer who's going to censor what I say, or there's no sponsors that they can go to sabotage what I say. So they're like, well, look, nigga, since you ain't got no employer or you ain't got no sponsors to, you know, keep a muzzle on you, we'll just come over. We'll just come over to you directly, nigga, to let you know what it is. Because see, they can't do the Kaepernick thing where they attack the NFL and attack sponsors. They can't do that. I don't have that. I don't have a boss, so to speak. So they're like, well, we'll just come over to let you know what it is, our damn self. And when they can come to your house, the feds are coming to your house when you have newborn babies, asking you to explain the definition of certain phrases you use. They basically came to my house asking me the definition for something and what I meant. That can happen to any of us, family. That just goes to show that police state that we're in. Now, I'm about to move pretty soon. And, you know, we got the house in escrow. We got the money in escrow and all that stuff. But the new spot already has cameras. People are saying you need more cameras. Oh, dude, the new spot already has cameras ready. Dude, I'm already knowing. I'm kicking myself in the ass for not filming the dudes, not having the cameras ready here. I didn't get the dude's card. I'm just kicking myself in the ass because all of this shit happened so fast, and it was something that was completely unexpected. I should have done a lot of shit in hindsight. I should have said, hey, man, let me get your card. I should have been filming. There's a lot of shit that I should have done, man. I'm pissed off. But again, I've been talking to my lawyers about this stuff, and they were like, hey, I've been talking to some civil rights lawyers about this, and that's a clear violation. And there's some things we're going to take care of as far as that. So we're going to have to start looking at this Constitution. We're going to have to start looking at this Constitution and saying, hey, man, these constitutional rights are going to have to apply. And if they don't apply, then what are we going to do? If I got freedom of speech, give me fucking freedom of speech. I don't want to have people tell me I got freedom of speech and we're all free and equal, and y'all get mad at Kaepernick for challenging that and other players for challenging that, and y'all say, well, we're ungrateful for challenging the violations of the Constitution, and when we try to exercise our freedom of speech, goddamn federal agents show up to your damn house. That's not no freedom of speech. Even if they came to my house telling me I'm not in trouble, what the fuck you here for then? Well, y'all coming to my house with my kids? And y'all got these white supremacists out here making threats daily. These white supremacists out here are specifically talking about shooting black folks. They sitting up online with guns. There was a dude in Maine yesterday. There was a story going around. This dude had a sign of a gun outside of his house talking about black guns matter. This is Maine. Maine is the same state where the governor said black people are the enemy. Y'all got people making veiled threats to a specific race of people. But y'all coming to my goddamn house asking me what I meant by a certain term that wasn't even a threat? Come on, man. Nobody should stand for the damn national anthem because it doesn't represent the Constitution. We got to get this Constitution thing together. We got to get this Constitution thing together before we start standing up acting like everything is gravy. We got a problem here. And all the people who make threats to me, they don't do shit about it. You got people online who make threats to me all the time, which many of them are the feds themselves. That's why they never do anything to them. Many of the people who make these threats are feds themselves. There's dudes on YouTube. There's like anonymous niggas who make videos about me all the time. These niggas make threats. These niggas threaten my kids. Nothing ever happens to them. They're allowed to get on YouTube and make these anonymous videos making threats nonstop. You dig? Anyway, y'all, let me get one more call before we get out of here. What's up? Who's calling?
Brother Tyreek, this is Kareem Baker.
Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing, fam? How are you?
I'm doing fine, and congratulations on your newborn child, sir.
Thank you so much.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
And as black people, why we keep doing the same thing, marching, protesting, and still doing, and still get our heads kicked in?
Because see, marching is really about, hey, white people, can you please stop and help? You know, that's basically a form of begging to a certain degree. That's why I don't do the march. We got to stop begging the white supremacists to turn another leaf. They're not going to turn another damn leaf. They haven't turned it in 400 fucking years. So we have to come up with solutions to protect ourselves. So no matter what leaf they turn or not, we can still protect ourselves. Now, FBI, are you going to show up to my house for that? Me saying that? Shit. I mean, that's just basic protection. People want protection. So that marching and praying, that's just another form of begging. You dig?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, well, that's why we got to start coming up with ways and solutions so we can protect ourselves from white supremacists harming us. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a group of people wanting protection. There's nothing wrong with a group of people who want to be treated fucking equal. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying I want the Constitution upheld for me and other people who look like me. The fuck y'all sending feds to my house for? Because most of the shit I quote is from the damn FBI themselves. I talk about the FBI memos where they said that they're white supremacists that have infiltrated law enforcement. The FBI said that. The fuck y'all showing up to my house for? For me quoting you? What kind of shit is that? That was a warning. That was them coming to my spot saying, hey, just watch it, nigga. That's all they were saying. We watching you. We're officially watching you. We're watching you. So we know a lot of people listening to you. So don't get crazy. That's all that was about. That's all that was about. That visit they paid to me was about, it was a warning. Nigga, we watching. Don't say nothing crazy or we'll be back. That's all that shit was. And that could happen to any one of us. So don't be, oh man, we feel bad for you. No, no. Us. We in the same boat. That shit can happen to any of us. Because anytime black folks say, hey man, fuck the police, they start showing up at your door too. You dig? So it is what it is. you know, I still got to represent for justice. You know, I'm not going to just sit back and just say, okay, I'm just going to wallow and be cool with injustice. Hell, I still want to see justice prevail. I want to see justice produced. I want to see the system of racism, white supremacy, replaced with the system of justice. So, shit, showing up to my house for that? For wanting to uphold the Constitution? What kind of damn state do we live in? We either live in a constitutionally governed state or we live in a fucking Nazi state. If we live in a Nazi state, go ahead and elect Trump. Just say that so we know where we are. And let's stop gaming. And let's all sit our asses down for the national anthem, because Kaepernick and all these other people are correct in saying that we shouldn't stand for something that doesn't represent all of us. Anyway, man, that's been today's episode, fam. I'm out of here. Y'all go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Go to Tariq Elite. Get those fresh clothes and all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And all that. I'm going to be on Ustream this Sunday. Shout out to my Atlanta folks. Have y'all seen the pictures of that fine-ass teacher down in Atlanta? There's some pictures going viral. There's a fine-ass goddamn teacher down in Atlanta. Her name is Patrice Brown. I think it's Patrice Brown. She's fine than a motherfucker. She's like a fourth-grade teacher, and she kind of looks like a stripper. Not stank, but she just got like a real banging-ass body, and she wears these dresses that's really form-fitting, and she wears her heels, and she got like a stripper body. But you know, I won't go as far as say she's stottish or whatever. But when she does take pictures, she stick that ass out a little bit. She pokes that ass out just a little bit. So she kind of knows what she's doing. But a lot of folks are kind of torn by this sister, because some people are saying she's inappropriate. I'm not going to say she's inappropriately dressed, because she's one of those chicks. Her body's so fucking banging. No matter anything she wears that's, you know, that fits, it's going to show off her body. So she can't really help that. She can't help being a fine fucking teacher. But she does throw that ass out in a couple of them pictures. She know how to throw that ass to the left a little bit. You know, she puts a little extras on it. But she's cool in the gang. She's cool. I know those kids going to be begging to come to summer school. They're like, look, I know I passed, but shit, I need some more tutoring. I got to find a motherfucker like this teaching me. Man, that's what y'all got down there in Atlanta? Shit, no wonder these kids don't be coming home on time. They be like, fuck a damn cartoon after school. I'm about to go give this teacher an apple. But anyway, y'all, let me get out of here, man. That's been today's show. I'm going to holla. Again, follow me on Twitter, Instagram. And y'all have a good one, fam. Peace.